Luke chapter 2. There's a lot of verses here. It's the Christmas story, and I love Christmas. Amen. Jesus has come, and he's coming again. Jack Hayford, maybe 15, 17 years in that realm, put a message together, and it was, I wish you a Merry Christmas. Merry, M-A-R-Y. It's a wonderful message, and I want to take that and those scriptures of any private interpretation and take some excerpts out of there, but to give him the thanks for that and acknowledge him. But I want to bless you. I know I'm blessed. So we want to read the Christmas story that's out of the King James, and that's what I'm reading. So let me read the word and make a deposit in your heart and make some comments on it from the scriptures. Father, we pray. Let's pray. Pray your blessing now. We thank you for your word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray that it would pierce down, way down deep inside of us, Lord. And I pray that each one of us would receive the word of the Lord and allow it to do its work in us by surrendering to the word of God. So, Father, we pray your blessing on each other. And we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to just be our teacher and our preacher today. I make myself available, Father, you to speak through. And each one makes their self susceptible to you, that you would not preach to deaf ears. So we just ask your blessing this morning on one another in Jesus' name. Amen. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath he sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. I wish you a Merry Christmas. The first Noel following the birth of Jesus was the one the angels sang. I was asked Donna to lead us into singing that song, then I kind of got drifted away. But that song, the first Noel, we'll sing it before Christmas is over, it was one of the first carols, but not the first carol. It was the first carol after the birth. But really the first carol was what I just read, that Mary, she sang that, the Magnificat. That's what the name of it is. In the Latin, the Magnificat means blessed or happy. She was that one that was blessed. And what a blessing it was for her to be used by the Lord, a virgin, a miracle, to give birth to Jesus. The word carol, the meaning of that means a song of Christmas. So when you see Carol, when she comes back, you can tell her, you know, your name means the song of Christmas. So even when you see her in the summer or spring or fall, Christmas will come to your mind because that's what her name means. So we thank God for Mary and for her uniqueness being used. And she had a unique role because she was the one who brought to us the message of the incarnation. It's a miracle. The incarnation, that God came in the flesh in the person of Jesus. There's such a uniqueness about that. In Isaiah 7:14, the scripture says, and I quote, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," end quote. What a feat that is, that God would have a virgin to give birth. It's a miracle that he came. And if you were to kind of focus on yourself for a while, you would consider it a miracle, as I do, that he would come for me. Because I certainly didn't feel worthy enough for God to come in such a manner for me. I mean, who am I? And the psalmist in Psalm 8, you've read it many times and had it said from the pulpit here, what is man that thou art so mindful of him, that God would come and make something out of our life to be interested with us? But Mary is a model. And there are four verbs that I'd like to bring out that kind of goes along with the model she is from God's perspective. And he looks at each one of us. If she is a model, she's a model. When I was a kid, I used to do model airplanes and glue them all together and so forth. And I'd look at them and so forth and look at pictures of the real thing. And I enjoyed that hobby for a while. But now I'm talking about a model, that Mary was a model of what God wanted to do in a person, to have that person blessed and that person happy and that person fulfilled. So there are four verbs, and they're for each one of us individually. They're really unique, and Mary really knew because of her commitment to the Lord and the Lord's teaching to her as a young girl that wasn't very wealthy, but she was wealthy in the spirit, for she knew the Lord. And we know the Lord too, and we need to know him a little bit better. But the four verbs, there's four of them, and I put God wants to each one of them. God wants to enter me. He wanted to enter Mary. Two, God wanted to grow in Mary. He wants to grow in us. God wanted to change Mary, and God wanted to have something special happen in her. So to repeat them, God wanted to enter into Mary. He wants to enter into us. He wanted to grow in Mary. He wants to grow in us. He wanted to change Mary. He wants to change us. He wants things to happen in us. And to kind of move along with them, he wants the world around us to be changed. And that's why he wants to come in us and do something special. So he wants to enter me so that the world around me can be changed as God is changing me. He wants to grow inside of me so the world can see what happens to a person in whom God grows inside of that person. He wants to change me. so that the world around can see that a change is possible. And he wants to happen through me. He wants to happen through me so that people can see that it can happen for you too. There's a visible that's needed. If you see me, Jesus said, you've seen the Father. It's hard to visualize the Holy Spirit. It's hard to visualize in as many pictures I've seen of God the Father, but I just can't seem to come to grips with it. So God says, I'll take care of that. And he sent his Son. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if you don't kind of know that I and the Father are one, believe me for the very work's sake. He said that. And he tells us that if we're going to be like him, we're going to see that we need to decrease while he increases in us. You know, there was a big price to be paid for Mary, this little humble girl. What a step of faith that she took. Be it unto me as the Lord would have it be, she said. Those are powerful words. Boy, if we could all say those words, but not from here, but from our heart. Oh boy, we would be blessed amongst all people too. And there's a lot of people that can make up a big line that are blessed because they said yes to the Lord, including hopefully all of us here, or most of us here, but hopefully by the time we leave, all of us would say yes to the Lord no matter what. There's things to pay. In the natural, there's things to pay. When Mary said yes to the Lord and she became pregnant, there were going to be stretch marks in her, weren't there to be? She wasn't going to be able to just use a silly analogy, as we see all of the time, people, these girls that are beautiful in their bikinis. There was going to be marks, stretch marks on her. She was going to be stretched. There's always a price to pay for a person who gives their self to the Lord for the Lord to do works. And that was one of them for her. There was a great discomfort for her. Boy, I'm not a woman, but I've seen my wife and I've seen enough of women, my daughter and people. When they have that big belly and they start walking like that because they're carrying such a weight and there's such a strain on their body, they pay a price, don't they? And we might snicker, us guys and so forth, but the ladies, especially in July and August, or even when it's really cold and they've got to watch out for their footing, it's doubly hard for them, isn't there? So it seems in a practical realm, but there's a price to pay. She was a young girl and she was a virgin. And she was engaged. She had a life that was going on, and it was going on in another direction there. The significance also is as far as in us, change comes all around us. When she said yes to the Lord and she started developing these things, and I jumped ahead with the stretch marks, but those were going to come because she was going to be expanded. They were going to come. And then there were going to be some other changes in her life too. Changes with the people around her. Her own family members were going to have a lot of doubts about her, weren't they? Sometimes we skim over that. We have family, and I'll tell you what, at this wedding last night, one of the things that impressed me, I won't say to the top, because nobody surpasses how Jesus impresses me. He's at the top of the list. He's at your top of your list too, I hope, and I pray and I believe that too. And there's a distant, distant, distant second. And in fact, it's so distant, if we didn't know it was there, we would think it wasn't there anymore. But there's a distant. But for Mary, her family that was close, and the wedding, they were close. They were family. The two mothers, one came all the way in from Jamaica and flew in to come to the wedding. The other mother rode right in from New York, from Brooklyn, to be here late at night for the practice on Friday, and was still weary Saturday to come to the wedding, didn't have any rest. But they were so happy that that happiness just overflowed things and so forth, and we all had the spirit of happiness, and all were being blessed. It was a great, great night. It really was. And Mary was close to her family. And she loved her fiancé, Joseph, but now she was going to pay a price. You know, when you say yes to the Lord and God comes in your life, we all want to be blessed, but it causes some tensions. And it causes some tensions sometimes in people that are very close to us because they don't understand. And Joseph didn't understand, and you know the story. We've heard it since we were little kids. How could he comprehend? Come on. How could he comprehend that a virgin's going to give birth, that a virgin's going to conceive? From a little girl that didn't go to Harvard or Yale, that wasn't educated in all of the universities, was educated in the home, though, thank God. They raised her in the word of the Lord, and that's what enabled her to be able to say, as the Lord would have it to be to his handmaid, and so be it. And she went and she was faithful, but she paid the price. We want to receive the blessing and we want to have the favor of God, but we don't want to pay the price. We don't want to pay the price. We don't want pressure. We don't want to have tensions amongst our loved ones and so forth. But God says you're going to have that because they're not going to understand. But you need to trust me with it. You need to trust me to get the word to Joseph. You need to trust me to get the word to your family. And you need to trust me with the timing of it and the manner of how I'll do that. And you need to trust me that stretch marks can be very beautiful. I've seen some people that went in the service for their country and came back with wounds. And they were ugly in some respects. But when you looked at them and saw the beauty of their givenness, to give their all and pay the price completely, all of a sudden it took on a different light and they became beautiful. And it became that you wanted to just hug and respect and to give and to pray and to do those things. And Mary paid that price. She became pregnant. She was going to have her first child, whatever experience in sexual intercourse. And that ought to be mentioned in church. Because she was a virgin, that doesn't mean that God's not into sexual intercourse. He created it. And he created one man and one woman to be married and to enjoy the pleasures of propagation and to enjoy the pleasures of sexual intercourse. But Mary, as a virgin, never had intercourse. And it wasn't God that had intercourse with her either. She wouldn't have been a virgin if even the divine being had intercourse with her. And we need to talk about adults and put sexual things on there from a biblical standpoint that we didn't go with the flow of the world and make something dirty. Why it's so beautiful is God created those parts of our body to be used in such a way that it could produce the greatest thing of all, and that's life. And God made those laws. That's why those parts of our body are so sacred and so precious. And that's why there's such an onslaught of the enemy to make them dirty. Make them filthy. It's time that we knew that and knew it from our heart and from the scriptures and realized how sacred it was. And yet Mary, in obedience to the Lord, was to say, God, you were holy enough and wise enough to create those particular things. I give myself to you. Use me to get the word out. And we need to get the word out too. If ever the world needed preachers and ministers of reconciliation, it's today. And they come in different kinds of packages. You might look at yourself and say, boy, I don't look like a preacher. Or I don't look like I could do that. Mary, to look at her, was a little peasant girl. Not much credential for papers and so forth. She didn't have a doctorate or a master's or a Bible diploma or even a certificate from the church or the synagogue. They didn't look at women too highly. But yet, look at her. God blessed her. And God wants to bless you, and he wants to bless me, and he wants to use us. And we need to be used because the world is dying. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. We haven't heard that saying for so long because the world's getting to be soothed into thinking that there's not an eternal hell, or there's not a God who's just too, only a God who's loving they want to hear about. But it's different. The Lord wants each one of you and me. This is going to sound weird, but he wants you and me and all of us to get pregnant. Each one, that's right, us men to be pregnant. And the natural, that's off the ballpark, that's off the charts. But he wants us to get pregnant with him inside of us. That's what being born again is. When Jesus comes and he lives in our heart, he lives in our life. He comes in there. He's the savior of our souls. He comes in there, and he'll stretch us. He'll stretch us a lot in the things that he requires of us. We're so used to living in a different kingdom that we give ourselves to that kingdom, and we seek success, and we seek that it's about us, and how we feel, and how we think, and the accolades that we can get, and how we can know that we're getting there when we finally arrive. But he wants to come in there, and he wants us to stretch us into another kingdom, his kingdom, where being first isn't the criteria, being last is the way we do it. And in order to have, we have to give. And to have peace, we need to go to war against sin all of the time and not give into it. And it's going to be in ways that people don't understand. They're going to call us holy rollers, and they're going to say we're different, we don't understand, that we don't like to do particular things. No, we do change our taste for things because God works inside of us. And there's a lot of tensions. Jesus loves the family, but he came to break the family up because he knew in his foreknowledge there'd be people in our families that wouldn't receive him, that were already lured by the world and were planted in there never to come out. And we need to face the truth and not to get into a faith that's not biblical and think because we want something to be and we want it to be so much and we keep repeating it that it will come into being and it won't come into being. We need to be positive in God and not positive with our own strength and with even the majority of people's strength. We need to pray God's will to be done and his mercy to move and his hand to touch the heart. But it begins with us individually and personally before him. As Mary did and God gave us in the scriptures, the message of Christmas, the Merry Christmas that we wish each other, that she said yes to the Lord. Has God spoken to anybody? And if he hasn't, have we been too busy and too preoccupied with other things, even in church, and maybe even on our knees, but our mind and our hearts are elsewhere, that we're caught up and we're in bondage? But today, as we hear the word of God and trust God's word and trust the Holy Spirit for a breakthrough in there, that we would hear his voice, and what a joy that would be. Whatever he would say to us, to sweep the street or to give somebody that something that's valuable, the point being to hear his voice. What a joy that is. Is there anything that could be any superior to that? For whatever he would ask of us, he wouldn't do it to play games with our mind or to show us that I'm in control and I can make you do anything that I want to do. He doesn't play them things. He's our Heavenly Father, and he is love, and he's mercy, and he's kind, and he's gracious. And he is for us, and I can't figure out why he would love us so much, but the fact is, he does. And I want to settle for that. And I want to hear his voice, and I want to obey him and trust the results with him. Who could have ever imagined that the most glorious act that anybody could ever do was to die in the way that Jesus died on the cross? Such a glorious thing. It brings us to our knees, doesn't it? And doesn't it come at such a time when we put our mind to it, when we're being faced with the biggest of trial, and the Holy Spirit, and we open to him, brings to our heart and mind the truth that Jesus loved us so much that he died in our place personally. Come on now. We deserve to be on that cross. That's not to put guilt on anybody, but if we can deal with truth, the Bible says it's truth that sets us free. And as we deal with that, we can move forward. The Lord wants us to be pregnant. What size is your world that you live in? You live in a little tiny world that you go here and go there and you do this and you do that. Maybe it's time we broke out of our world and had a world view about Christianity and what our world should be. That we would just enlarge our thoughts to really see how big and how wonderful and powerful God is, and draw strength from the one who created the universe. What machine is there that could number the hairs on a person's head, excluding Ronnie, and back? But from the get-go, from our birth all the way, knowing the numbers of hair, not only that we have, but that we have had, and that we zero in to belong to that God, and yet who is so gentle that would wrap his arm around us and say, hey, how you doing today? How you doing today? He wants to be that personal with us and care that much. Do you feel secure with what you got on? Do you feel confident today, the Lord would say? To know him in that intimacy, how more intimate can you be where God's plan was that he would call out a girl and he would, we use the word womb because she was pregnant and he was born through her womb. And it's there in the scriptures, not just by chance, but he came and identified with humans and came to the most intimate part of their body to be intimate. That's the message, that God wants to be intimate with us in our thoughts and our cares and our desires and our disappointments and our discouragements and our hurts and our successes. He wants us to walk with him because he wants to walk with us, and he won't push himself. Although he'll work a work to try to come into our life deeper and deeper and deeper, he wants to grow in us because he wants us to grow. And without him in our life, we cannot grow properly. So how big is your world? Where are the problems in your world? What are they? What are those problems? Can they be solved with him not in us? I don't think so. We've tried that. So God wants to come into our life. He wants us to be pregnant with the Word of God. He wants that Word to grow in us. And he makes it so intimate and so personal that he wants to be part of our life. So how about, what is it that blocks you from going deeper? Where is it that you got dammed up that you can't go any further? Are you afraid of tensions that are around you? Are you afraid that there might be marks that are going to be on your body? What is it that would hinder us? What's happening in your life or not happening in your life to have you to be more intimate with him and to have your life full of his presence? Always dependent on him to meet the need, no matter what it is. Those who are ill, hopefully, Jesus is that intimate to them that they're waiting for his direction, for his healing to come. Financially, as the person works as hard as they can, and yet God is a provider and can stretch. He told Peter, go and pull the first fish out of the ocean and open its mouth and take the coin, pay your taxes and pay mine too. Mary learned that all things are possible with the Lord. To be that intimate and yet to be strictly biblical and not walking in legends or myths or fantasies, but to be walking with him and learn where the truths fit into the proper place, and that we just don't take things because of our desires and put them in some place and say that God put it there. Or we don't, as we do too many times, do something good and then trust God to clean up the mess that we make. But to venture out and to grow to a place where we don't get into that place because we allowed him to lead us, and he was the leader and not us. And not only in word, but in deed. That we would graduate from speaking up a storm to being still and letting our life speak for itself. Oh boy, I want to be that kind of person. I know Donna won't get upset with me if I become pregnant. I want to be pregnant with the Lord's word, and I want it to grow inside of me. And I know that you do too. You come all of the time to hear a word for the Lord. You come all of the time in your trial and your temptations and your tests. As you believe in the Lord, you might not put it out in those words, but you put it out when you come and you're faithful and you give. And you want to hear something from the Lord. And you'll take that something to make you bigger and stronger. And bigger and stronger for the Christian, it's amazing how it works, is more humble and dependent upon him. And something happens with that ingredients when you get the right ingredients. There's a glow that comes and a confidence that comes up. and there's a love that flows. And the world would like to have that love, but they try to figure it out from here instead of here. But we've got it figured out because he taught us. And at one particular point, whether it be because we were down so low, we couldn't go any lower, or maybe we were up so high, wherever that happened to be, and we realized there was nothing there for us either that would fulfill us, only him. And we're those people. People of Christmas. People that unusual things happen. Because there's no gender in the spirit, and even the males can become pregnant with Jesus. And he grows within us. And I'm not done, just this statement. Because we're pregnant, we're able to give birth. And we're able to win souls. And we're able to help others along. We have something to give because we received. And miracle of miracles, Christ did a work that you can't learn in a textbook because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's able to fulfill any dream. Amen. In the last days, he'll give dreams and visions, and we're in the last days. So I want to leave this here with you this morning. Because we're people that walk by faith and not by feelings. And we need to walk that walk. I want you to come down this morning. And I want you to come down here humbly as Mary did. And I would ask you to consider uttering those words that Mary said. Well, whatever you want from me, Lord, I'm your handmaiden. So wherever you happen to be, you might feel so useless, your mind might be racing that you got things to do and places to go. But as that old hymn, just as I am, without one play, I'm going to ask you to just come the way you are and just come to the front, spend a few moments, and then you can go. Then you can go. And ask the Lord to do a miracle in your heart and tell him your will. Willing to become pregnant. Amen. So come. Come as the Lord leads you.